My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you very much. The great Ziegfeld used to maintain that a good chorus line of girls had a girl for every taste. A cuddly one, a svelte one, a jolly one, and a dark, sexy one. Well, it's the same with us. A cuddly one, a svelte one, jolly one, and a dark, sexy one. In other words, John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, Dennis Norton. John, to serious matters. The critic Max Harrison, writing in The Times, mentioned what he called Bartok's fairly hermetic third quartet. Now, is that hermetic, John, and what does it mean anyway?
Well, I suppose it means hermetically sealed, but that isn't actually Bartok's third quartet. That's the fourth.
Ooh! Oh. Shock, horror.
Interesting. So
the
you
result this week is a clear victory for...
So you spotted my deliberate mistake.
Sounded like the take-off for the flight of the bumblebee.
Did a bit. What does hermetic mean? Do you know, Frank? Do you know, John? Hermetic?
Well, like a hermit, presumably.
Well, no, it's magical, or to do with alchemy. Magical, you know. Bartok is not everybody's idea of very listenable music. E.F. Benson, John, who's somewhat of a hero of mine, wrote once about understanding difficult works on first hearing them. He said, the first time you hear it, you don't understand it at all. The second time, you understand it fully, and not at all the third time. This is about so, I think. Frank, so, this music, instantly understandable. The soloist is one Zoot Sims. You know what these jazz men are. What's the tune? Oh, it is on a plate for you at the end. Did you get it?
Yeah. It's a touch of pomp and circumstance.
I think John was whispering in your ear at the very moment the tune came in.
No, he's whispering something totally irrelevant.
The band played da 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 di dum da di da dum ba bum. So.
That's the third symphony.
Yeah. Could I have a clue? Toots the goodbye.
It took some finding, but we got it. Yes.
Yes.
Tootsie. Ian, who is this capital Don? Capital Don.
Yes, that's a very nice clue, because that has to be the pretty well inimitable George London. Yes. My memory of him, which was an absolutely splendid one, because it was the first time we ever met, and it was in the lounge of the Caledonian Hotel in Edinburgh. And in those days, way back about 1950, that was a place, and no doubt it still is a place, where ladies would come in to have a nice afternoon tea, sitting there from all sorts of places. And they were all sitting having their afternoon tea, and we'd been bidden to go there for some kind of meeting of the cast. And George, in an enormous, he had a very loud voice, speaking as well as singing. And he started and he said, did I ever tell you about the crosstalk act that did the tour of the United States? And they were lousy. They were lousy. And when they got to Des Moines, Iowa, which is a very difficult town, they realized it was really the crunch. And they went on that stage carrying baseball bats.
And they looked at the audience and they said, listen, folks, we hope you're going to enjoy us. We hope that you're going to laugh and applaud, because if you're not, we're going to pass among you with these baseball bats and knock the stuffing out of you. And all these ladies in the Caledonian were going,
oh, oh dear.
Splendid man.
Yes, lovely man. George London, George London. Dennis, here is Robert Mitchum. He's providing a purely musical clue to a very largely literary question.
Oh, ye Ohio, there's a girl I used to know. I don't think much, but when I do, I think about that girl I knew. You know, he Ohio, you know, he Ohio.
Dennis, I think you can get this. On which day did whose Aunt Edith hear running feet outside the movie theatre?
Well, it's connected with...
Ohio.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio, yeah,
right.
was where James Thurber grew
right.
up. And that's one of the great pieces of Thurber when the... That's right. When Aunt Edith was in the movie theatre or cinema, when the town panicked and thought the dam had broken.
The day the dam broke.
Right. What I remember is his grandfather... who heard the running feet and thought the rebels were attacking, the southern troops were attacking, and went out onto the step with his sabre, daring them to come, and they had to stun him with the ironing board.
Yes. People all over Britain are going to be going to record shops asking for records of Oh, He, Ohio, Ho, sung by James Thurber's grandfather, aren't they? Never mind, we understand each other,
yeah.
don't we?
Oh.
A Spiegel is a looking glass, so it's not surprising that Fritz Spiegel should call his preposterous musical dictionary Music Through the Looking Glass. It's a wonderful encyclopedia of musical facts and fantasies. You're mentioned in it, John, a couple of times, I notice. John, a first question to you arising out of Fritz Spiegel's book. What are or were the Lady Blount, the Messiah and the Betts, not to mention Leopold Auer?
The you mean
Lady Blount.
Taken as a whole?
Yes, they're all something or other.
Racehorses.
The Lady Blount, the Messiah, the Betts, Leopold Auer. There are lots of other ones, too, with names. Do you know what they all are?
No idea.
I have to tell you, they're all violins. They're all famous individual violins of one kind or another.
Oh,
right.
Nice.
Frank,
mm.
from the same book, who signed a 10-year recording contract at the age of 95 but died in Nether Wallop in Hampshire before he could fulfil it? 95 and a 10-year recording contract.
Oh, yes.
Sweet thing to do, isn't it?
Yes. Webster Booth?
No.
Donald Pears?
He's playing for time. Yeah. Or
Leopold's
Stokowski. It was Stokowski, that's right. Stokowski, yeah. Ian, there's a reference in Fritz's book. In Fritz's book, Ian, under the F section, there's a reference to Flash Harry. You know who that was, of course.
Yes.
But who's Flash Haggis?
That has to be Sir Alexander Gibson,
it does indeed, yes. Sir Malcolm Sargent, of course, was Flash Harry.
Yeah. Would you mind telling you why it has to be Sir Alexander Gibson?
Well, famous Scots conductor.
I see.
Rather like Malcolm Sargent.
Yeah. I think I cannot actually call to mind any other Scottish conductor who would quite fit that bill other than Alec.
Oh, God. Dennis, still drawing material from Fritz Spiegel's new book. What, as musicians, Dennis, did the following have in common? Vic Oliver, Charles Chaplin, and Harpo Marx.
They're all violins.
Vic Oliver, Charlie Chaplin, Harpo Marx, and now I come to think of it, Paul McCartney as well.
Ah, well, that's spoiled, because I was going to say they're all comedians. But,
no.
All Aquarius.
Something specifically instrumental.
Instrument. Oh, Harpo Marx used to play the violin on the wrong... harp on the wrong shoulder.
Left-handed. They're all left-handed players.
Ah, left-handed, yeah.
All left-handed players of one kind or another. Right. I'm bound to admit that the different pieces of music do fly by rather swiftly in this week's piano medley. Never mind. The first four are for John and Frank to identify. The second four for Ian and Dennis. Here we go. Thank you. too. John, you must have known the first one.
I think it was a prelude by Debussy.
Yes, Voile from the first book, that's right. Then
and
a little bit.
The second one was Clair de Lune.
Yeah, and it went into Frank.
Went into a very similar melody.
Yes, that was my intention, actually.
I know it extremely well.
It's a bird.
Vulture. Skylark.
No, and the way I played it, I'll have to tell you. Flamingo. Flamingo.
And then. Flamingo is a bird.
Go on. Then it went into.
It stands there sunburned on a leg.
Did you get the last one?
Never heard it before in my long life.
Now is the hour.
But you don't listen to Now is the Hour all the way through.
Ian.
The Minute Waltz.
Yes, the Minute Waltz, that's right. Minute Waltz, D-flat Waltz, yes. This was another rather slide change, Dennis.
Yes, was it Ethel Waters? Ethel Waters.
Yes, Ethel Waters.
Cabin in the Sky.
Cabin in the Sky. Cabin you got the it. Sky, though, yeah. Right. Yeah. Then two easy ones, the last two.
Manhattan.
Yes.
And I'm Falling in Love with Someone.
With Someone, thank you very much. Here is a round of questions on the subject of... Seagulls. John, the odd thing about Roy Plumley's desert island with its seagull accompaniment is that you're not likely to find gulls around at all on a tropical island. But having said that... John, whose music and what is the correct title of the song, of the piece?
It's by Eric Coates.
Yes, and its correct title...
The Sleepy Lagoon?
Yes, nearly. By The Sleepy Lagoon, yes. Frank, this next song is called The Seagulls. While you're telling me which part of the world it comes from, please, perhaps John can be working out what rhythm it's in, what time signature. The nationality, Frank?
It's sort of Mediterranean, Adriatic. Mm. It's Yugoslavian.
Well, no, it's a bit further away from where we are. It's
Canadian.
It's Greek.
Greek.
It's a singer called Panos Gavalas, a Greek singer. What was the rhythm, the time signature?
It's 4 and a bar, isn't it?
No.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-
No, no. Frank's got the mark in it. Seven times. 3-2-2. It was in seven. Ian, the title, The Seagull, or Seagull, this time in English, appears on the next record label alongside whose name?
The scent of the breeze in the air. You are without being flying somewhere. The tears in your eyes and your smile. You look without seeing flying.
Good voice. Good singing.
Yeah.
Do you know who he is?
No.
Do you know Dennis?
Well, it's familiar.
Yes, it's
voice.
Familiar,
it's not,
to me.
It's not unfamiliar like opera singers are to me. But right, that is in my realm.
Shall we ask anybody in the audience, who was it? Roger Whittaker.
Everybody.
It was.
Oh,
Roger Whittaker.
Yes, yes.
The name on the tip of your tongue.
Well
yes.
done.
Yeah.
Dennis, words and music by, respectively, you'll know the poet anyway, and perhaps the composer's name, or one of the names he wrote under.
Yes, Ogden Nash.
You'd be right for Ogden Nash. Now, that was actually the wife of the composer singing it. Do you know
his... No, he wrote something with Kurt Weill, didn't he?
Well,
Nash, but,
yeah, his real name was Vladimir Dukelsky.
Oh, that would be so, Vernon Duke.
Vernon Duke, yeah. Sung by Kay McCracken Duke, his widow on that record, yes. Can you think of a tune that starts with the four notes? In fact, can you think of five that start that way? Here's one, anyway, for John. Yes. What is it, John?
Oh, it's Rossini.
Yes.
La Gazza Ladra.
Thank you very much, the overture, yes. Same notes, Frank, what's this called?
I thought it was Clopin and Clopin we were going to play.
No, nothing
da,
like...
Da, da,
nothing.
Da, da.
Ah, no. I could have done, but didn't. No. You don't know it, do you? Ian, can you give him a mark for that? I think.
Oh, it's
Gilbert and
it's
Sullivan.
Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Braid the Raven Hair.
Braid the Raven
from the
Hair.
Mechanic.
Thank you. Would you like him to have the mark?
Certainly.
I think very good.
I haven't won a mark this evening.
Ian, the title's obvious enough. Where might you hear a rather large audience performing this?
If I were partisan, I would say they would have an even larger audience if my team were playing against them at Upton Park.
Oh, really?
West Ham United.
West Ham United. I'm forever blowing bubbles. Yes.
Jimmy Edwards.
Yes.
Yes, right.
Dennis, even time, larger audience.
Time yes. You had an easy one, Dennis.
Where all the good dancers used to get
I once sang that in Woolworths at Cambridge.
Why did you do that, Mr. Wallace?
Why did you sing the name? Oh, it was in my madcap student days, and it was a charity day. And I and a friend played the piano accordion. We went into Woolworths on a Saturday morning, and I sang that until we were thrown out. Play to me, Gypsy.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a fifth tune that starts with those notes. Who's going to be the first member of the audience to shout out very loudly the title of this? Thank you very much. Didn't hear a word you said, but it was getting me to the church on time. If you happen to own a car, then of course it has letters and a number, but it also has a maker's name. With that in mind, how about a song for a car? Song for your car. John, I'm not sure you even own a car, being a city dweller, but assuming you did, a name for a car.
I think it would be any one of those songs or tunes by Fritz Kreisler.
Oh, yes, yes. Of course it would. Quite right. Frank, a song for your car?
Yeah.
You see Fritz cars all over the world.
Song for a car. Song for a car, sir, please.
My car? A nice Merc if you can get it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I can't do that. I've got three initials for mine, so I can't do that. Ian, a song for a car?
Where did you get that Fiat? Where did you get that Fiat?
And Dennis, please.
I've got the same... I had the same three initials cast, and there isn't one for that. I just got rid of one. The only song I could think of for that was I Can't Get Started With You.
Let's just tell you, Rab Cook, writing from Sri Lanka to suggest this idea, a car song, offered Honda the Bridges of Paris.
Oh, nice one.
And a very nice one, a Eurodormobile. So congratulations to him in Sri Lanka on that. In these closing minutes, you'll be hearing two forgotten songs revived, a very old favourite that's never needed revival, and a first performance. First, Frank, with a song I learnt in 1940 as a member of Oscar Grasso's band at the Hungaria restaurant in Lower Regent Street. Oscar, sadly, is no longer with us. The Hungaria's gone too, but this song happily remains. It's called Chez Moi.
Oh, yes. Now, I just wanted to say that when I first started broadcasting in 1942 in Iceland for the troops there, I wrote a show called Roadhouse, music conducted by Eddie Braden. And this was our signature tune. Ah, it all comes back.
Right.
When you call chez moi, darling, you're loved. Though it's small, chez moi, we'll make it do. For at night, every light, oh, woman, cherchez-moi. Must I implore you? Not a care, cherchez-moi. Once we're alone, only say you'll stay. For darling, I adore you. Come and treat, cherchez-moi.
Why did I give it up?
I know. No, that melted half of Iceland when you did it.
I came across a poem by Hilaire Belloc that I thought so beautiful that I couldn't resist setting it to music. I then sent the manuscript to John, who said yes, he'd sing it. So here is Belloc's and my song. It's called On a Sleeping Friend. Like quoting to John the name, I'm delighted to say, of an early 17th century anthem I heard on the radio. It was called Thou Hast Made My Day.
I think it's a lovely song.
Thank you very much. I didn't write this next song for Dennis. Somebody called Wincott did that.
Last Sunday afternoon I thought for tea I'll treat myself now to a luxury. Went and bought a pen of the Winkles down at poor old Mother Sprinkles. I took them home and put them on a plate, as happy as could be. I hadn't left the room 2 ticks when all the family were picking all the best ones out. Picking all the best ones out. Talk about a man's face getting full of wrinkles when I saw that pen of the Winkles. All of the fat ones gone. It made me scream and shout, 'cause there was the missus and her 7 little kids picking all the best ones out.
Finally, a fine, serious Scots song for Ian. And I think that must mean the Bonnie Earl of Murray.
Ye Hielands and ye Lowlands, O whore hae ye been? They hae slain the Earl of Murray and laid him on the green. He was a broad-callant, and he rayed at the ring, and the bonnie Earl of Murray, he micht hae been a king. O lang will his lady look frae the castle doon, ere she see the Earl of Murray come soon in through the tomb.
Time to go, I'm afraid. The winners this week consult score sheet proffered by Bonnie Mary of Perth. To discover the winners are Dennis and Ian. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.